The wheel of the year keeps on turning. Summer fades into fall, winter melts into spring, and nature sings a never-ending story of life, death, and renewal. Butterflies show us how to unwrap the gift of everyday life when they break forth from their chrysalis as new creations. We celebrate the effort that breaking into new life takes as we awaken to the rich blessings of this present day. We see two distinct examples of death in today's scripture readings. Ezekiel's vision of a dry land, a valley with dry bones, is told in the 37th chapter, verses 1 to 14. And then we remember in the Gospel of John, Lazarus' rebirth after dying and laying in a tomb for 4 days. So let us read God's life-giving words together. Now, I will preface by saying these are longer than normal scripture readings, so bear with me as we read through them. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as he had commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. And then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." And from the Gospel of John, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Martha get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having me. I knew that you always hear, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, for anyone present who longs for and prays for a new beginning in their lives, today's sermon is for you. Today's theme of unwrapping and waking up to our own metamorphosis inspires us to believe in a God who brings beginnings to what others see as endings. What's difficult in this phase is that it requires us to trust God, to believe that God will bring the possible to an impossible situation, and to understand that growth and change can be uncomfortable. But God never leaves us alone. The good news is that we are safe in the arms of our Lord through Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet it's hard. It's hard to be in a place or a situation where we do not know what will happen, or what we think will happen doesn't look good. The range of emotions is vast. As the butterfly's cozy environment cracks further open still, it is the effort of the process of emerging that makes change possible. Waking up, rolling away the stone, unwrapping what will be. Miraculously, God invites us to participate in the process of opening up, as he invites us to see life in the dry, cracked places of our lives. I love how the people around God or Jesus are asked to participate in bringing life. In Ezekiel, God invites the prophet to speak into the bones that lay in the valley, and as a result, our breath made the bones come together and form new bodies, reminding us of the uniquely complicated yet connected relationship between God and human, allowing us to be part of God's redemption in our world. That's so exciting to embrace. The story of the raising of Lazarus is a final and most spectacular of the 7 most fully described public miracles or signs performed by Jesus in the 4th gospel. He's fed the 5,000. He's completed public miracles. And this is the last one that is shared before he too enters into his time of death and crucifixion. In John, the miracles are always done public, as opposed to like the Gospel of Mark, where we often hear Jesus commanding people not to speak of what he's done. And it's said to have been done for them to be done so public so that non-believers would believe in him. Jesus knew that his time was coming. In the opening of the tomb of Lazarus and the unwrapping of his funeral clothes, the community had to face their unknowing and perhaps disbelief and trust that the resurrection Jesus had facilitated was real. The words, "Come out," required Lazarus to respond. The agony of Martha, who cries out to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Powerful words expressing grief and feelings expressed in what was a fearful, uncomfortable situation for Martha and Mary and the rest of the Jews who were present. Jesus' loud command to come out to Lazarus must have turned heads. Maybe they were expecting something a bit more eloquent, or maybe a little bit longer than just say, "come out." In scripture, we hear Martha remark, showing her humanity, about the stench of the tomb. Imagine what it would have been like at that moment. There was no presence of life in or near that tomb. So what on earth could Jesus have possibly done when rot had already set in? And yet, here comes Lazarus, emerging from the tomb, bound up in funeral cloths, sort of like the chrysalis of the butterfly. As the chrysalis in our weeks-long metaphor opens further, the butterfly must respond to this urgent call to emerge and take flight. The lifespan of a butterfly is short compared to our lifespan. They are expected in weeks to a few months after emerging to live, depending on the species and the time of year that the butterfly becomes a chrysalis. But after emerging, the butterfly has some urgent work to do. They must procreate or their species will not continue existing. They have to survive the weather, or to survive, the weather has to be in almost perfect condition. And like the butterfly, we have significant moments in our lives where we are called to emerge and reframe our response to life's challenges and open up to new possibilities. And at that time is when our faith comes alive as we trust a known God to an unknown future. The story of Jesus' ministry itself experiences an emergence with this part of the Gospel of John, for Lazarus' resurrection foreshadows Jesus' own. Perhaps even Jesus and his emotion awakens to a new awareness of the finality of what awaits him as he continues to challenge the status quo. Perhaps Jesus' crying wasn't just grief because his friend had died, but he was weeping because he knew that he was next. And yet Jesus embraced the truth that his life would change in ways even he couldn't determine. While Lazarus' resurrection led many to come into new belief in the person and power of Jesus, the response to Lazarus' resurrection also results in the beginning of the plot by the chief priests to have Jesus killed. They were furious with the public demonstration Jesus had shown through his miracles and through his teaching, enough so that they wanted him killed. And to say nothing of the fact that these priests even plot to have Lazarus killed for his role in facilitating one of Jesus' signs. You might say they were out for blood. The emergence of Lazarus and the removal of his bindings is a powerful image. However, Lazarus did not come out of the tomb by himself. First of all, it was Lazarus's community who moved the stone of the tomb. And when Lazarus emerged, we can assume it was his community that unbound the funeral cloths wrapping his body at Jesus' command. If you're not familiar with death at that time, they were wrapped around and around and around their bodies, keeping their hands close to their sides and tight enough that likely Lazarus would not have had the strength or the ability to be able to unbound himself alone, requiring the community, his family and friends and the people on the edges to come to his aid. What if our own emergence isn't something we do on our own, but is something communal? Meaning we need others to support us as we wait for God's plan to be revealed. Jesus' weeping reveals to us the depth of his love for Lazarus and reminds us that Jesus was fully human. And as I said before, one wonders if this grief for his friend might have connected with his gut feeling that death was not far off for himself either. Jesus' identity as someone more than just a rabbi or a teacher or a good guy is emerging here in this part of the Gospel of John. And Lazarus' sisters proclaim an assurance that Jesus has the power to stop him from dying in the first place. The chief priest's fear of Jesus, to the point of plotting to kill him, demonstrates that Jesus is something more than just someone teaching polarizing things about the Torah. Even they realized that Jesus was about to change the entire world. Throughout the Bible, the Word of God has life-giving power, but we sometimes overlook this in a world so full of empty, meaningless, trivial, or untrusty words. We live in a world around us that is flooded with words coming at us constantly through television and radio, websites, billboards, text messages, and ads on our smartphones, and, well, now podcasts. We know that some of these words are untrue, others are destructive, and still others are trying to manipulate us. The result is that we don't have a very high opinion of words. But Ezekiel is willing to trust the word of God. In the middle of his own dry, dusty, lifeless experience in exile, he's willing to put his faith in God who says to the bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Lord. That promise to the people that Ezekiel prophesied to is the same promise to us this day. God promises to cause breath to enter the bones. Literally, he causes ruah to enter. The Hebrew word for breath, and it also means wind and spirit. Breath, wind, spirit, ruah. God puts it into us so that we can live. God's going to breathe on us, and the reaction of God's breath on our dry bones will cause sinews to appear and the spirit to reinvigorate our souls and new life to grow, and we shall live. We shall live. Some of you sitting here today feel like the dry bones in the middle of the valley. You feel like Lazarus. You're wrapped tight, barely moving because you're this close to death. Maybe you feel dead inside, dead to the life that God is calling you to, or unable to see beyond life's tight bindings holding you back. God's word has life-giving power. God's wind, breath, spirit can revive individuals, congregations, and communities. When dry bones begin to rattle and join together, we discover that together that hope is stronger than despair. Death is never final, and sadness can give way to joy. God is of life, always. God asks us, just as he asked the Israelites, to choose life. to lean into him when life gets difficult, and trust that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. To believe when we are in a point in our lives where we don't know the way, the light of Jesus Christ will shine the way for us forward into life-giving experiences. Friends, it's time to unwrap and wake up. Alleluia. Amen. Let us stand as we sing together, Redeemer, Savior, Friend.